This is a replay of the Wednesday night, April 10th WGN show. We started around 10:30. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. You've got about 2.5 hours to spend together. I hope you'll join me. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And if it's on your mind, I'll make sure that it is on mine. But earlier I was checking email, and I got another one of those. And it's legit, because I've got a few services that monitor things. But it got, this was found on the dark web about you. I thought, oh, good. And a lot of that was, but it causes me to pay a little more attention when I hear about hackers, shall we say. Hackers stole 340,000 Social Security numbers from a government consulting firm this week, Greylock McKinnon. They disclosed their data breach. Yeah, actually 341,000 if you're counting, and it was disclosed on Maine's government website where the state posts data breach notification. And notices were sent by mail to victims, which is nice, because even though they're supposed to notify you, very often they don't. But this, unfortunately, is not something that happened last month. It happened almost a year ago, May 2023. And it was an unspecified cyber attack, and the consultant at that point tried to mitigate it, and obviously they didn't do too good, because now they've had to put out the information that your personal information was obtained as part of a civil litigation matter. Now, that's one thing when the DOJ has it, but it's another thing when the data breach caused hackers to get everything about you to be you. And also they're saying your personal Medicare information was likely affected. Now, I haven't checked for sure how much beyond Maine. I assume it's quite a bit beyond Maine, but who's involved or why. But if you are involved, you would have gotten a notice. But yeah, another case of fast and furious with your personal information. So yeah, on that happy note, 888-876-5593 takes us to the birthday girl. Yeah, I didn't forget, but Cindy in Norridge is having a birthday. So Cindy, welcome back to, just lost Cindy completely. Oh, no. Don't tell me I hung up on her, too. I seem to have crashed the program. So I believe she's gone, but we'll see. Cindy, are you there?
Yes, I turned 62 today, and I had a lovely birthday.
Excellent. What'd you do?
Well, nothing really. You know, I don't have much family, and we kind of celebrated my cousin and I celebrate his birthday's in March, and mine is in April, and we celebrate. We had a strawberry shortcake on Easter.
Yeah,
you know, for our. But then, anyhow, I got a lovely card from my deceased boyfriend Charles Mosier, from his niece, and the whole the whole extended family signed it and just thanked me. I just cried my heart out. Thanks me for being so good, you know, so kind to him and helping with his caregiving. It was just lovely.
That is very nice. Okay. When you were first telling me about this, though, you didn't get to the family members. I thought, oh, my God, you got a card from your deceased boyfriend? I want to hear all about this. But the family, just as nice.
No, I was just taking a pause and breathing. But then anyhow, I have my closing dates for my condo that I'm buying and my house.
Good. When is it? When is it?
The 14th is the house sale closing, and I think it's the 24th is the condo.
Okay.
But then anyhow, what was I going to say? Oh, the only thing, I'm just worried about everything. I just can't help it.
Well, you got to stop. You just have to stop that. Worrying will not get you anywhere, and it doesn't solve anything.
Yeah. But then anyhow, what happens if the appraisal of your house from the bank is low?
Okay, well, if the person who's buying your house has a mortgage, they're trying to get a mortgage, the mortgage company wants to know what's the appraisal of the house. If it's lower than what they're willing to lend, they usually won't lend that full amount. Because the bottom line is your primary lender wants to make sure that if the person who's buying it stops paying, that they can, in fact, get their money back through foreclosure and a resale. But if the house itself, if somebody's paying more than the appraisal is worth, very often the lender will say, well, we're not going to lend that much money.
And it happens quite often?
Well, it happens enough. Again, part of it is what percentage of a loan is someone getting? In other words, if somebody's putting down 30%, it probably doesn't matter because the appraisal is probably not going to come in.
They're putting down 30%.
All right. Well, if they're putting down 30% and the appraisal's coming in low, it's hard for me to believe that the appraisal would come in 30% lower than the sale price. So what, the person who would really know is your real estate agent. What did they say?
Well, the lawyer said, don't worry about it.
Then don't.
He said that, I wasn't after he said that, but he said, I was just wondering what you would say, but he said, very often the appraisals come in a little lower, but.
Yeah. Well, and that may be, again, with 30% down, I think that's enough of a cushion that I wouldn't really worry about it. But when somebody tells you not to worry, trust them. Just don't worry.
And then the other thing that's going on is I have a emotional support pet.
What do you have?
And the condo doesn't take pets. It's a cat.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. Let me stop you right there. If you're talking about buying into a place that isn't going to allow you to enjoy the lifestyle you're used to, I wouldn't buy that condo.
Well, I have an emotional support pet letter, and they have to accept it.
Well, they don't have to accept it as the thing. Legally, they don't. Emotional support is not the same as the kind of agreement that if you're talking about the quote-unquote seeing eye dogs and things like that. Emotional support is another level, and it's not mandatory they accept it. And the bad part is the rules can change at any time. So that's one I won't say worry, but I definitely would investigate, because you don't want a thing where you get in there and at some point they say, nope, no emotional support animals. So let me look it up for Illinois, though, whether a landlord in Illinois, because state to state it might vary. But in general, emotional support animals don't get the same protection.
Are you looking it up now?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see.
I have a disability, so.
Well, that doesn't matter for this. Now, if your animal was helping with your disability directly, like if it was seeing seizures or things like that, or again, if it was like a seeing eye dog, that's a different category. But I don't know for emotional support because there's so many of them. Okay, let's see what we get. All right. Can a landlord deny an emotional support animal in Illinois? According to Illinois law, landlords and other property owners must make reasonable accommodations for you and your support animals unless your animal directly threatens other tenants or property. So reasonable. Now you've got an issue there. That's somewhat of a gray area. But and we're talking about landlords here as opposed to that. So I would definitely check this out as far as that goes. In terms of reasonable accommodation, I always hate the word reasonable. What does that mean? And common sense and things like that. So I would.
Well, I looked it up on the internet on Google, and it said that if it's an unruly animal, it could be asked.
Right, of course, of course that's true. But again, ESAs, emotional support animals, are a different classification. You know, I'd say above pets, but below animals that are certified to help you directly with things like blindness or seizures or things of that nature. But they say that that housing providers must provide reasonable accommodation. So now we're talking about a condo. Board, if they can, let's see if they can, because they're not actually landlords. All right. Let me look this up in the next commercial break, and I will let you know. But I would say it looks fairly good, but I would want to get something in writing from them acknowledging this.
Yeah, that's what I have my letter. And
I know, you have it at your end. I want you to get it from the condo board that they recognize and accept this.
Before I sign?
Yes, absolutely. You betcha. So you've got to, obviously you have to prove it, but you've got the letter, the documentation and all that. You can prove it, and you've got a licensed healthcare professional who's signed the letter and all that, right? I mean, you didn't just do it online.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got a doctor who's licensed in the state of Illinois who's signing, hey, you need to have this. So I'll look up and see what condo ruling says, but it sounds to me like it's probably good, but I wouldn't feel comfortable unless I got it in writing.
All right.
Good luck. Don't worry about it. Just do it.
Oh, and I have one more thing up my sleeve. I doubt if you would play it. But the only thing I could think of, one night when I was about 22, I was driving home from my survey center job. It was part, you know, when I was in college. And I was driving down Foster Avenue, near Northeastern Illinois University, and driving past the cemetery, two cemeteries on either side, and the Twilight Zone disco song came on.
Okay.
I don't know if you would play that.
I don't even know it, but I did get your answer. Technically, the FHA in Illinois will prohibit the association from placing a restriction on an emotional support animal. So legally, you're in good ground, I think, but I still would want a letter from them recognizing it.
All right.
But it says, you know, I looked up further laws in Illinois that the FHA prohibits a condo association from placing restrictions on emotional support animals. So, but again, would I trust the internet? Not entirely. I'd want that letter, but it looks like you're good to go, but I'd want that.
Okay.
All right. Good luck. Thanks. Appreciate it.
I'll try and think of some good songs sometime.
Well, sooner or later you will, and don't worry about it. We'll play somebody else's request, and hopefully you'll like it. Thanks.
All right.
And we'll also, by the way, play Johnny D's new missive. He sent this, and I got it each and every time. The problem, as I suspected, if you were listening last night, was he sent it in a large file. He sent it as a wave rather than an MP3. So at first it was, being bounced back, but it was for size. But eventually I got a 22.7 megabit version on a wave file. Yeah, could have choked a pony. But we'll hear it together because I have not heard it yet. But he did send it. No more games, and I'm looking forward to that. In fact, we'll hear it in moments. Then we'll talk to Marianne. And, she's got a new dog companion. Ooh, that's going to be interesting. And Ken in Chicago, bank hack happens. We'll talk about that, too, coming up on WGN Radio.
Mm-hmm. Hockey b-ball, please go away. My heart was set on Raleigh. Not the NCAA, with her goes her collars. Like Leela and Mark and Graham, sometimes she takes a call in.
from some biker from Japan. I know to you it might sound strange, but I miss Wally James. Ooh, no more games. I said with the gold colors like Marlo and Jimmy P, some cat called Southside Jimmy, and a dude named Johnny D. I know to you it might sound strange, but we want Wally James. Ooh, no more games. I try so hard for another trivia win, like Lisa and Fran, they always seem to win. But listen, now if I win, I must have chose a harmony question. To the programmers, my pain, I'll explicitly explain, we don't want no more games. Ooh, just Wally James. Oh, yeah, yeah. No more games. Oh, yeah, just Wally James.
All right, that's Johnny D. There you have it, WGN Radio. I'm Wally James. And yes, Johnny D, took him 8 tries to get that last night, but we got it here, and I promised we would have it on the air, and many of you were mentioned. And we get to Marianne in Chicago and Ken in Chicago, and we've got 2 more hours to talk, and we will get to that. Now, before we break for news, November 14th, 2019, a new Illinois law created somewhat of a hurdle for the presence of emotional support animals in condos and apartment buildings. And when I read this, I realized that it's clear as mud. There's a serious gray issue in this. Yes, you have the right butt, and a big butt. And so, therefore, to Cindy and to anybody else who's actually thinking of buying into a situation where there's some form of an HOA or oversight like that, get it in writing that your emotional support animal is accepted. And the problem, of course, is that there's so many scams like that, that online you pay a fee, they send you a letter and all that. Not good enough. There's actual documentation, but there's more to it than that. So, Cindy, get it in writing. All right, so that's where we'll pick it up next hour right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. There's Barrett Strong, Money. And so it was that Carl from Chicago requested 4 Money songs, and then I chimed in with a fifth. And I realized afterwards that that's just the tip of the iceberg. Off the top of my head, I could come up with a dozen. So we'll play the ones that Carl suggested and a few more as well. Why not? So Barrett Strong, Money. 888-876-5593. 8888-Raleigh. So, Dale in Roscoe, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello. I'm on the board of a condo association, and we ran into a problem like what your previous person's talking about.
Uh-huh.
And according to the law in Illinois, the FHA prohibits the association from placing restrictions on emotional support animals and must permit owners to keep such animals.
Well, you're right to a point. See, here's why I say it's clear as mud. In 2019, they added some verbiage to this, and that's where I came up with a reasonable, because what do you do when someone in the condo has an emotional dreaded fear of animals, for instance? You know, how do you balance the needs? And so they made a number of steps to, by the way, that alone won't kick out the emotional support animal, but because so many people were doing the emotional support trick just by, you know, signing up on a website and paying $100 and getting a letter, there's now requirements that anyone would have to provide to the board for the board to be bound to the FHA ruling.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, okay. You know, when you think about it, it makes sense, because there's so many of these scams online. You know, have your animal support, clarified an emotional support animal, when they're nothing of the sort. They're a pet. And so they came up with this law, which went into effect, I think, on November 14th, 2019. But like I say, it created kind of a bad situation when you're also talking about taking into the consideration other needs as well. Like I say, the neighbor who's afraid of dogs, that alone won't kick it out, but it's absolutely a gray area. The housing provider cannot deny assistance based on true disability needs, but the resident has to be able to step up and prove them, and they've got a number of steps in that.
Well, that's like just all of the different animals people were taking on airplanes.
Yes.
And it really got out of control, so I know they restricted that.
Yes.
And that was one of the arguments we came up with at one of our board meetings. If the airport could restrict these things, why couldn't we?
And well, that didn't work, did it?
No, our lawyer said absolutely not.
Yeah, no, that's not going to work for a number of reasons. What it really comes down to is making sure that there is a legit therapeutic relationship between the individual who has a provable disability and the animal who is supporting them. And so a provider has to provide a meaningful assessment of the individual, has to certify the disability exists and that it can be helped with an emotional support animal. And then, of course, the emotional support animal, it should be shown, is in fact, able to carry out their duties as well.
Gotcha.
So, but I would hate to be on a condo board. Talk about a very thankless chore. You try to mediate these things and you find out that it just gets really murky.
There's an awful lot of things where you find yourself between a rock and a hard place. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking tonight with someone at dinner in terms of the benefits of, say, HOAs, because in rural areas, you just don't have them. And so what happens, of course, very often is you're living next to things that are absolutely health issues as far as that goes, you know, and you say, what can I do about it? And then on the other hand, you have people who pipe up and say, yeah, well, let me tell you about an HOA. I had a 3-inch weed and they fined me. So, those are the two extremes. It's not easy.
No. Yeah. No. And we're right now battling an issue with an insurance company. It's crazy. And it's been going on for 2 years.
Oh, God. Well, insurance
is... You can't win.
No. Insurance is legalized gambling. You know, they're betting you won't claim. You're betting you might have to. And then when you do claim, all hell breaks loose. So
you're right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good luck on that.
Why, thank you.
All right, and call me again.
Wonderful night.
You too. Thanks, Dale. Appreciate it. All right.
Bye now.
So there you have it. It's as clear as mud. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Marianne got a new dog. All right, not an emotional support animal, but a pet, I assume. Marianne, tell me all about it.
Well, I'm going out to Right Way on Saturday to do a meet and greet with a little dog they put on hold for me, and I'll probably be bringing her home.
So tell me about her.
Well, her name is Puddin'.
Okay.
When I first saw the name, I'm like, oh, my God, I need that dog.
Okay.
6-year-old Chihuahua.
Okay.
And she was rescued from Southern Texas.
All right. All right, so yes, I'm looking at in Morton Grove, Illinois. Puddin' came with some friends from West Texas, saved by one of the rescue partners, and apparently that's the deal. So, what do we know about Puddin'?
Well, that she's 6 years old.
Yeah,
she's neutered. She had all her vaccinations.
Yeah.
And she's chipped.
Ah. All right. So
I had originally gone out last Saturday to Right Way because I talked to them the Friday before about a little dog I saw named Daisy.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, Daisy's over in Morton Grove. I said, okay. Friend and I go over there the very next day, and she was gone.
Oh.
So I said, I how do I put Puddin' on reserve?
Right.
And they said, oh, they give me a piece of paper with a website and all this stuff. And I said, you know what? I went on your website. It's very confusing. You don't need 45 things to click on.
Right, right.
Trust me. I said, and I tried to put a reserve on Puddin'. I don't understand why you wanted my email address and my password.
Well, they wanted you to be, you know, a member of their site type thing. But it said she's reserved, so obviously she's reserved for you.
Yeah, they. I told them, I said, why would I give you my password, my email? What if I have sensitive stuff?
Well, no, it would be a password for the site. You'd create a password to be able to log into the site. It wouldn't be passwords for anything else.
I tried that, and it said we don't recognize that password.
Well, no, you had to sign up. You couldn't just put in a username and password. You have to sign up as a user. But anyway, you did it, and you got Puddin' on reserve.
They did it over the phone for me.
Very
so.
Good. Very, very good. So,
Saturday. And you know this thing you were talking about with comfort animals?
Yeah, emotional support animals.
It has gotten out of control.
Well, that's right, and that's why there needs to be reasonable standards. It shouldn't be you can get a letter from someone on the internet. But by the way, I'm looking at Puddin', and I'll tell you what, she would own the condo association. She looks like she's taken over.
Yeah. She does have a little attitude,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. She is dog in charge. I'll tell you what, she does not realize she's small.
No, they don't. They have a Napoleon complex.
Right, right, and she's got that look on her face. What? So, yeah.
Like you talking to me?
Exactly.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I can't wait to hear about it.
But I have a friend that worked many years at I won't say the name, but a big warehouse store.
Uh-huh.
And she told me the stuff that people came in with and said it was a support animal.
Oh, believe me, I know. Absolutely.
The guy had a big boa constrictor around his neck.
Right. Right.
Now, the guy had a parrot on his head.
Yeah.
They were coming in with all kinds of animals, and her manager said, you can't question them.
Well, right.
That's why you can't question them.
And,
but I think when you have something that odd, you should have a certificate.
Well, and absolutely, that's what most states are doing, just like the Illinois law that passed. They have a number of hoops you go through. Certificate alone is not enough because you can get a mail order online for, you know, under $100.
Notarized.
No problem. Reasonable hoops to prove that, A, you have a disability that can be helped by the animal, and, B, the animal is in a position to help you.
But a boa constrictor, come on.
Well, snakes can be fine, but, I don't know.
It could be fine in somebody else's store.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of reptile lovers. And,
my son is one. But
well, so there you have it. So I would not
allow him to go into a store with one around his neck.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't see where that was a benefit to anybody involved. But nonetheless, as far as having the snake in your unit, if you're in an apartment or a condo, well, a snake might qualify. But again, you're going to have to go through some hoops.
Now, I'm wondering, because when I first had to move, when my mother passed away, and I called a couple of the buildings where they rated on your income for seniors.
Yes.
And they had restrictions. One said one pet only 35 pounds or less.
Right, but again, an emotional support animal would probably be only one pet, and they wouldn't get away with it at this point in time saying 35 pounds or less.
Well, my problem was I had two dogs.
Well, but they
one weighed 10 pounds and one weighed 5 pounds.
Yeah, but they weren't emotional support animals. You weren't trying on that basis.
No. They were pet friendly buildings, but they had stipulations.
Well, and many do. And when you're talking about it that way, that's legal. You can decide not to live there. They can decide these them are the rules.
But then the way it was so vague, one pet 35 pounds or under.
Right.
I told my son, I'm about ready to go get me an alligator for 30 pounds. Put a leash on and walk in. Okay, you said one pet, 35 pounds or under.
All right. Well, for me, I just find another place to live, which is probably what you did. All right, so good deal. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Oh, okay, I'll let you know what happened.
Yes, I can't
Saturday.
Wait. Can't wait. Thanks. All right, so it looks like Puddin's going to get a new home. We'll get to Ken. We'll get to Fran. Oh, and Linda. Linda in Richmond Park. That's going to be fun, too. And there's still room for you if you'd like to call 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. That was on Jerry Ross's Heritage Records in 1970. Chapter One was the group. Money won't do it, love will. That was not one of Carl's money songs, but I figured we'd throw in some that he probably has never heard before, and we'll get to the rest of his as well as we talk money. We will also talk with Ken in Chicago. We'll start now and get the synopsis and continue after the news. So, Ken, welcome back to WGN Radio. Ken, are you still with us? We've lost
Ken. Hey, how are you? Oh,
there you are. All right. So, bank hack, did it happen to you?
No, my daughter. She was getting her master's degree in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And the university accepted tuition payments to a credit card.
Okay.
And in order to help my daughter establish kind of a false good credit rating, what we did is she would go and put the tuition on her credit card.
Right.
And then the money we had, we would...
Right, you'd collateralize it. You're absolutely.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. And very common practice. We'll see where it went wrong right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
You know the landlord rang my front door bell. I let him ring for a long, long spell. I went to the window and peeped through the blind and asked him to tell me what was on his mind. He said, "But honey, yes, but honey, if you wanna stay here with me, I was clean as green and so high. maybe about a half past three. She said, I'd like to know what you want with me. I said, much honey, much honey, honey, much honey, if you wanna get along with me. She screamed and said, what's wrong with you? From this day on, our romance is through. I said, tell me, baby, face to face, how could another man take my place? She said, money, honey, money, honey.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Clyde McFadder and the Drifters, 1953. Money, honey, that was one of Carl from Chicago's money requests. And happy to play it. That, of course, was on a Yellow Atlantic. God, I remember so well that I would, usually around September when kids would go off to college, it was great to go to the Saturday morning flea markets because their parents would invariably sell their records. And I remember it had to be 10 years after the fact, so early 60s. I went to a swap meet and I found a box of Yellow Atlantics. And they were, I said, what do you want? 10 cents each. My heart almost stopped. Of course, I bought every one of them, including Money Honey and all that. And of course, any collector at the time knew you were looking for Yellow Atlantic, you know, before they went red. And years later, I was talking with Jerry Wexler at Atlantic, and I said, well, you know, I'm a big collector of Yellow Atlantic, but I've never asked why the switch to red. And he said, printer ran out of yellow ink. Now, here we had all given it meaning and it, all sorts of value and all that, and it was as simple as that. After we saw it, we just left it. So he said, yeah, keep red. 888-876-5593. We're talking to Ken in Chicago, a college daughter, going to build up some credit a nice way, going to use a collateralized credit card. Go to the bank, open an account with, say, $500 in it. Then, of course, you've got a $500 limit. Use the card any way you want. So what went wrong?
Well, we spoke on a Sunday night. And she called me and she said, you know, Dad, don't forget to transfer the money over for tomorrow. And I said, no problem. And so Monday morning, I'm driving to work and my phone rings and it's my daughter. She says, I thought you were going to transfer the money over. And I said, I did it last night before I went to bed. So I pull over and I log on to my account. I see the transfer is gone. Money's gone out of my account. She looks up in hers, and the money is gone. It was somebody somehow hacked into it and got the $9,000 from her. And here's the interesting thing, and I don't know how this works, but so we're just one person that got hacked that day for, you know, the bank. It was Chase Bank.
Okay.
So how many more did Chase get hacked by? And who's paying for this, Raleigh? I mean, we got the money back. Within 48 hours, she had to fill out a form. They did a little investigation. And within 48 hours, the money was in her account.
Good.
But it just really amazes me. Somebody has got to be paying for this. And I mean...
Most of the banks are insured. That's number one.
Somebody's paying for it.
I'm not talking about FDIC insurance, by the way, because people think that FDIC insurance covers this, and it doesn't. That's not what it's for. FDIC insurance covers bank failures, not hacking. All right. Now, interestingly, you were lucky because Chase did not have to give the money back. This is something that a lot of people don't realize. Credit cards themselves are protected by all sorts of federal regulations. And bottom line, you're using a credit card and somebody hacks into your credit card and charges, I don't know what, an apartment building and a Cadillac. You're not going to be liable for that. That's really nice. But if it was a debit card, you very well maybe. If it was your bank account, you very well maybe. This is a very gray area, and you can look at the history of this in Wells Fargo, who's notorious in a lot of ways. But there was a situation where one guy was hacked $45,000, and then and he was in San Francisco. A couple in Marina del Rey lost a similar amount of money. The Marina del Rey couple got their money back, and Wells Fargo refused to give the guy in San Francisco his money back. And you say, what do you mean? And they said, well, we've determined that you didn't protect your password. Now, exactly how they determined that, you know, I guess was the case of lawsuits and all that. But the bottom line is the bank has discretion. And this is something everybody should pay attention to. That's why I'm a big believer in credit cards. I would never have a debit card. I wouldn't even have an ATM card. There's just not enough protection. And there is a minor amount of federal protection now with debit and ATM because they've had to, but nothing like credit cards. So in terms of who eats it, ultimately the institution eats it, even if they're insured, by virtue of a higher insurance costs. It's like any other theft. Who eats a theft?
Yeah. You know, the good news is when she graduated, this happened a few years ago, probably mm-hmm. about 5 years ago, and she came out and graduated, and she had... Raleigh, it's crazy. She had a better credit score than I did. She had a 765 credit score, and she just closed on a house in February. So because of her
wonderful.
Credit rating,
that's absolutely wonderful. Yeah. And I'm a big believer in that. Long before there was credit ratings or credit scores, when I was a kid, I was 9 years old, and we had stopped. I was with my mother, and we had stopped at a city service gas station. And they had a credit card application, so I picked it up, I took it home, and I filled it out. And on it, it said what you wanted the fuel for, and it had like a auto slash van. And it had one for boat. So I actually wrote on this thing, yachting fuel. I'm not a 9-year-old kid, right? I signed my name. 2 weeks later, the city service credit card comes. So I put it in a drawer. Well, anyway, I became a credit card collector. And before I was out of high school, I had like 1,000 cards, you know, from everywhere. We'd stop in any city at a department store. Give me that application, you know. And of course, I never used them. So I had, you know, a favorable credit ratings. This is long before, again, like there were credit scores.
Right.
But absolutely, by the time I was an adult, when I wanted to apply for anything, no problem. I hate credit scores, and mine's around 830, so it's a good score. But here's the thing. Why isn't it a perfect score? And of course, you know, the FICO scores, everybody has their own metric for how they're determined. And some go to a score of 900, some to 800. You know, it's different. But the deal is, you look at that, how you pay back the money is only like 35% of the rating.
Right. And the interesting thing, though, too, Raleigh, is like in her case, is they never questioned, like, where did you get the money from?
Well,
how did you pay this off? So the paper trail just kind of fades.
I'll tell you a story about that. And you're right. When you decide you're getting that American Express card and you fill out that application and you tell them that you make $962,000 a year and they send you a card and you say, wow, they didn't even check, right? Well, here's the way it works. Let's say you default on that card and you've shut a lot of stuff. Maybe you got $20,000 in debt and you default. They go back to see what you put on your application. And if it isn't correct, they will sue you for fraud. So people think that they're getting away with something. Yeah, they'll take you at face value. And that's why all these cards every year say, could you confirm your income for our purposes? Well, their purposes are that they know they can get you if you lie.
Right. Hey, could you do me a favor?
Absolutely.
I don't know if you get to it tonight or maybe tomorrow. If my dad's favorite band was the Cadillacs.
Oh.
And if you could play anything from the Cadillacs, that'd be wonderful.
Do you have a favorite?
You know, Raleigh, I'm sorry, I don't recall the names of the songs, but I do love the Cadillacs.
Me
and
too.
I do have a bunch of his records that he, you know, when he passed away, I got a lot of his collection. And anything from the Cadillacs would be fine.
I think you're going to get My Girlfriend because it's one of my favorites.
Sounds wonderful.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Much.
Appreciate it, Ken.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
You too. Now, of course, I guess I should say Gloria, since they really popularized the first doo-wop version of Gloria. But no, I think My Girlfriend, that's the way we're going to go on that. And we'll do that in moments. Oh, we're going to get to Linda in Richland Park, Fran in Austin, Shel Silverstein, and Johnny D. Yes, star stage queen in Bumpers. I hope he heard it. You did. And in fact, Linda's going to comment on that coming up on WGN Radio.
I'm asking you. Boom, 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 boom.
Please be my girlfriend. I've been waiting for a long, long time. For that moment I could call you mine. Oh, little girl,
I'll say yes.
I tell you,
yes, yes.
Why don't you be my
girlfriend? Please give my heart one little chance, and we can build a sweet romance. I really love you so.
I'll be faithful and true. Please let me prove it to you. I love you, man.
And I feel this way until eternity. Please be my girlfriend. I want to be your lover, lover boy. Baby doll, please fill my heart with joy. Please say yes.
I tell you,
yes, yes.
Why don't you be my
girlfriend?
Let me prove it to you. I love you madly, and I feel this way until eternity. Please be my girlfriend. I want to be your lover, lover boy. Baby doll, please fill my heart with joy. Please say yes.
I tell you,
yes, yes.
Why don't you be my
girlfriend?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is My Girlfriend. If you're looking it up, two worlds, by the way, girl and friend, two different words. And that's on the Crazy Cadillacs, which came out in 1959 on Jubilee, and I think they put it out as a single as well. So I was debating between that and The Girl I Love, which I might have to play that next because it is just so good. I was looking here to see, did they release My Girlfriend as a 45 RPM or not? Maybe not. How about that? But it certainly is on that album. So, 888-876-5593. Well, as I always say, we defer to first-time callers, no matter what we're doing. And Mark is one, and he is in Barrington. So, Mark, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. Thanks for calling.
You know, we always listen to you. We love you so much. Unfortunately, I have a family member who's got dementia, though.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, are you the primary? Yeah. Are you the primary caregiver?
I am. Yes.
Ooh,
yes.
You got to take
the 24/7. I'm her son. So
you've got to take care of yourself. This is very important.
It's tough.
It
sometimes
is.
I don't get the sleep that I need, but
right. Right.
So I understand, but you know, I think she doesn't understand, but she kind of knows your voice in a way, my mom. So,
well, tell me about the trajectory. What was the condition when it started, and how long ago was it?
2013 she was diagnosed, but in 2010, 2011, okay. Her memory just started. I thought I just pushed it off as, oh, she just forgot, you know,
right.
Kind of like that, not knowing anything, because when I did this, I did this as I learned. So I learned to, you know, sure. On the fly, basically.
Sure.
So, it was the memory that just kind of went first. It was slowly, but you know, and now she can't walk. So,
oh, that's a shame. Now, has she been diagnosed with a specific type of dementia?
No. They just said that she has dementia. That was it. That's all.
All right. Because when you're talking about things like not walking and stuff like that, the first thing I think of is Lewy body dementia. But it can be, it can take many forms, and you know, just calling it dementia is kind of a catch-all category. But of course, it doesn't matter to you. What you're dealing with is you're dealing with somebody who you think has a level of awareness, but not enough to in fact communicate.
This is what I do, and she responds to me because she knows that I'm there to help her. Mm-hmm. She does know that, but she doesn't know who I am, first of all.
Right.
She has no clue. But
does she confuse you with other people, like a late husband or something like that?
No, nothing like that. Okay. But I have to form my questions in yes or no answers.
Okay.
And then she will respond.
Appropriately?
In most cases.
Okay.
I'll ask her, so for example, I'll ask her, are you done going to the bathroom?
Oof.
She'll say, you know, she'll shake her head or she'll nod or she'll say, uh-huh, or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if she knows what I'm saying, but I think she does because she responds to questions like
right,
that. So.
Right, and it corresponds to being factual, so you would think that there's some connection there. Yeah.
Right, because she'll say, you know, she'll I kind of got to have to guess, but she'll kind of tell me if she has to go by kind of be fidgeting, you know, like in the wheelchair or something.
Okay.
And I know that either she's hungry or she has to go to the bathroom.
Right, you can see that something's up. All right, hang on a minute. I want to talk more about this. And again, you're going to have to take care of yourself because you are in a high-stress position. But we'll pick it up there. Don't go away, Mark. Stay right where you are. All right, we'll talk after the news right here on WGN Radio.
The girl I love, she's going away. The girl I love, she's going to stay. I'll dream of her.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, it's the other Cadillacs record that always comes to mind when someone asks my fave. And Jubilee, 1959, a wonderful, wonderful song. Yes, The Girl I Love. Let's see, 888-876-5593. We're talking with Mark, a first-time caller in Barrington, who is the primary caregiver for his mom, who has dementia. All right, so Mark, obviously she's diagnosed, and at that time, when she was diagnosed in 2013, did she still know who you were and who she was?
I think so. I think at that time she did.
Okay.
At that time she did. It was as it, you know, as it got worse, I'd say probably maybe five years later, it was, you know, after she was diagnosed, it just, she forgot who I was, and I just have to kind of remind her every night or every day who I am, and then she's like, oh, yeah, and then 5 minutes later, she wouldn't know who I was, so.
Right, right.
But it's so. Like that, you know, it's, I mean, she had her battles, she, boy, has she ever had her battles, you know, everybody does. you know, they've got something going on with their family, but I thought, well, you know what? I looked at it this way. I said, she took care of me for 18 years. Why don't I give her some of that love back to her? So,
well, I don't think there's a higher calling. You know, I think that in the afterlife, when we're reviewed or when we review ourselves, however that works, I don't think there's anything more noble than what you're doing. And far too many people walk away from it. But of the people who do it, and I have had friends who have really been in this situation, that's why I keep saying, you're really going to have to watch that you take care of yourself or you won't be able to take care of her. So now she's been diagnosed for more than a decade. And it's pretty full-on dementia, and it's not unusual, both with Lewy body and with Alzheimer's, that you lose the ability to walk, and you lose that. It has to do with deposits in the brain and what part of the brain is affected.
Exactly. Now, she can, if I do this, if I help her, which we do every day,
right?
We have a railing that she can hang on to, and what she does, if I help her stand up,
mm-hmm.
She can do that. She can stand up and get her bearings, but she can't walk. I think she's afraid that she's going to fall.
Well,
I think that's
part of it. But remember also, this has to do with memory, even the memory that we don't realize is conscious memory, in terms of how to walk. You know, these deposits are robbing her of all of that. So it's very tough. But now, how old is she now?
She's 87.
All right. So, and at 87, I'd say over 50% of the population has some form of delirium, whether it's a full-on dementia or whether it's caused by a physical condition. I mean, it's not unusual that you're seeing that to a greater or lesser degree by then. So at 87 now, other than the implications from the brain deposits and all that, whatever's going on, does she have any other physical problems? Like, is she diabetic? Does she have kidney disease?
She is diabetic, yes.
Does she have thyroid issues?
No.
Okay, because very often a lot of people don't realize that thyroid issues can mimic.
You know what? Her doctor did put her on medication for that, but it's no longer an issue, according to her doctor. So.
All right, so is she type 2 diabetes?
She takes type 2. She takes the pills.
Okay. So she's medicated for that, high blood pressure?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully she's not on a statin. But
I don't think she is.
Okay, yeah.
She's got the Eliquist, so she doesn't have any strokes.
Right.
But that can cause problems. You bump her skin, or you bump her skin, and it's going to show a bruise. But anyways,
all of these drugs, you know, they carry side effects, and so it does can cause bleeding, and you know, because it is a blood thinner medicine, and so your clotting is going to be a real issue. And of course, what your doctor is weighing are the potential side effects, less serious than the issue we're treating, and that's a tough one. But yes, Eliquis can be serious. But and when you say you're preventing a stroke, what you're preventing actually is an ischemic stroke. Technically, she could be more likely to have a hemorrhagic stroke, but for what but that's a minor percentage of strokes. But that's when you, with an ischemic stroke, what happens is you get a blood clot in the brain and it cuts off the supply, and you know, part of the brain dies. That's what she's taking that for, to not get a blood clot. But see, the other form of stroke, which is, you know, about 15% of all strokes, they're hemorrhagic, and what that is a bleed in the brain. And so that's the tightrope your doctor is walking between, making sure that she's going to be prevented from having an ischemic attack, but also not so much that she'd have a likelihood of a hemorrhagic problem. So almost all the things you're going to be talking about, it's sort of approach and avoidance, things that you're saying, this will work well for this, but the side effect is that. So, okay, you got Eliquis, you've got whatever you're doing for diabetes, like metformin or one of those.
Exactly, metformin, that's correct.
Yeah,
and then she also has something not for the heart, but for the heart vessels. Metoprolol, I believe it's called.
Right.
Okay. And that's for the heart vessel to help the heart pump blood, basically. So
right. It's
not all of that stuff.
It's a form of a high blood pressure medicine, metoprolol. And it's if she has chest pain, angina, they give it very often. But they the purpose again is to use it in combination with other medications to treat heart failure. It sounds like with the Eliquis as well. It sounds like the doctors feel your mother has a heart condition.
You know, that's funny that you say that because she was just in there because. She had problems because she couldn't do any bowel movements for about 5 days. But beyond that, they gave her an EKG because of what you said, but they said, no, she's fine.
Right. Well, now I'll tell you, one of the side effects of metoprolol is it can change blood sugar levels. And so, that's why I say you do this in concert. And is she on any other blood pressure medicines?
I don't think she's on any blood pressure medicines.
Okay. All right.
She might be on, what's it called? I can't think of the name of it or the word for it. But it's, she's on every pill you can imagine for the high blood pressure. But there's another name for it, and I can't think of it. That's one of them. But there's also a pill that she takes.
Yeah, it can be a variety of things like amlodipine or, it can be beta blockers. It can be calcium channel blockers. There's many things they could use, but it sounds like she's on a lot of things. And that's where your doctor needs to make sure that, things are working synergistically, like one thing's not affecting another and inadvertently affecting her cognition. Because there have been cases where people really go into delirium because of drugs. As a side effect. So I don't know that any of that's a factor, but we hope that your doctor's looking out for that at the same time. He's obviously aware of what's going on.
She is excellent. It's a she.
Well, or she. He, she, or it. I don't care. But, somebody with some type of a medical license, not a talk show host who, like me.
Cholesterol pill. That's what I was trying to say.
Well,
cholesterol pill.
Yeah, well, and I understand why they're doing that. The last thing they want to have is a heart attack or a stroke. But at this stage in my life, I don't know. In her life, I don't know that I'd worry about a cholesterol. But, and she may well be on a statin given that. Probably. What you've got here is a situation where she's not going to get better, and you know that. And so what you're really doing and your purpose is to make her life as easy as it can be. You're trying to give her as much comfort as you can. It's very tough, like I say, as a caregiver. It's also tough when you get signs occasionally that, hey, I think she is recognizing this or that or whatever. You can have be on a real roller coaster with that in terms of that. Now, what do the doctors say about her life expectancy?
That never came up.
Well, I kind of want to know that. Now, of course, they're not God, they're not Miss Cleo, they're not psychics either, so, nobody...
I will ask her that the next time she has...
Yeah, and also ask her about the trajectory, because, as dementia progresses, it can get to a point where you will no longer be able to be the caregiver. If it progresses to a point where it becomes physically dangerous for you to do it, you've got other decisions to make.
And I've been looking into other decisions, like you were saying.
Right, and they're all houses of horrors, is the bottom line. But the ones that are better than not are the ones where the patient has family members like yourself steadily involved with that care day to day, where they know that somebody.
Oh, definitely.
So your role would change if that had to happen from directly giving the care.
Let me tell you this. When she fell, I actually was here, and I because she was too heavy at the time. Now she's that's the other thing. She's lost a lot of weight.
Sure.
Oh my God! But anyways, And I let her down slowly, but I couldn't pick her up. She was too heavy at the time.
Of course.
So they, you know, the ambulance came and they took her and they kept her for 3 days.
Right.
And then they transferred her to a nursing facility, slash rehab center.
Right.
It was one of the top notches in Inverness. It was called Rosewood.
Okay.
I tell you what, they got her that time. They got her to walk.
That's great.
They got her to walk. The staff was fabulous.
That's wonderful.
You know, you hear the horror stories. This was top notch. 3 meals a day. They took care of her. I saw her every day.
Right.
They knew me by name after a while. It was wonderful.
Oh, yeah. So some of the, by the way, some of the rehab facilities are absolutely wonderful, and there's many options there, but rehab facilities can differ from skilled nursing facilities.
Oh. Oh, well, this is all in one.
Well, I know, I understand that, but it's probably qualified as a full rehab hospital, and that very often will give you a level of care that's a little above, which is good.
Now, unfortunately, as I stated, she does not walk anymore. It's the brain or had a not a relapse, but just couldn't do it. They did the same thing they did before.
Right.
3 days in the hospital, so her insurance would pay for it.
Right.
And then they transferred her back to the same facility.
Right.
But they couldn't get her to walk, and within a month they had to let her go because her insurance does not pay. She can't walk. So I've done everything I could to.
Yeah, absolutely.
To do, you know, I mean, everything. And so. So now I just say to myself, well, okay, this is how it is. Let me just see if I can just make her life more comfortable. That's all I can do.
And you're doing it.
Just go with what she has. That's all.
And you're doing it. But get yourself time that's just time for you, mark time, at least once a week where you are completely away from this and nurturing yourself. It's very important. And people don't realize how important. You're actually helping her if you help yourself.
Right. That's very true. I have a friend that is a licensed CNA.
Mm-hmm.
So licensed CNA, sometimes he'll, you know, when he's got the time, he says, hey, do you need me? Do you want me to come over, spell you a little bit?
Yes.
Things like that. And I said, yeah, that would be great. So he really doesn't do too much. It's just that, you know, like I was saying, you know, I could catch up on my sleep a little bit more.
Right. No, it's great. It's great. He's able to do it is the point. As a CNA, he's trained to deal just with this. He's a perfect ally. And if he's offering of his time, you take that. Because otherwise, you'll hit a burnout level and you'll be there before you know it. So make sure you at least have weekly mark time.
Exactly. I appreciate that.
I'm so glad you called. You know, I hope you will again. I hope your mom's life is as pleasant as possible, and I know you're going all out to make sure, and there's a star in heaven for you.
I tell you what, I will try and get back to you weekly and let you know or
I would love that.
And let you know what's going on with her. So.
I would love to hear from you. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. All right.
Bye.
Yes, truly doing God's work. I'm always impressed when people can do that. So we will get to Johnny D. You know, we played a song, and we'll get to Linda and Richmond Park. We'll get to Fran and Austin. Ooh, Shel Silverstein, love that. And let's see. Oh, Cindy has a comment on caregivers. And James on the South Side and his many, many stories. And right now there's no line available for you, so I won't give out the phone number. I'll say that there will be, and I'll let you know right here on WGN Radio. Thank you. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. The OJ's 1973 Philadelphia International, a fine example of Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff at work for love of money. And that was one of Carl from Chicago's money songs that he requested. And we won't finish them tonight because I'm adding some as well. But we'll stay on the money trail as far as that goes. That can never be bad, can it? All right, so 888-876-5593. That is going to take us to Johnny D., star of stage, screen, and bumper music. So, Johnny D., welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, thank you. How are you feeling? You're not sick. You don't have to go throw up or nothing right now, do you?
it's not like last night in the middle of a community meeting, which I guess it got some interest here because I've had some requests for copies. In any event, there won't be any. Bottom line is that we determined why we didn't get your files until much later. They were huge. You sent them as WAV files. Don't do that again.
Well, yeah, that's what I told John, that I just want to explain to you a little bit about. You see, Raleigh, I do all them songs on that WavePad app.
Yeah, well, save it as an MP3. You can do that.
I can't save it as an MP3.
Then don't send it, because the WAV files just aren't going to work. You'll be in hell again and again and again. You've sent them as MP3s before.
I did?
Yes, you did.
Because whenever I send it, I just on that app it says save file.
Yeah, but
don't save.
You can do
save. And then it says send file.
Well, you can also do save as.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway.
See, like I said, this is the free app. That's one of the major reasons why I use it, because it's free.
All right. Well, we got it. We got it. We played it. You mentioned a lot of people, I'm sure you made them happy.
Good? How'd you think?
It was different. I think what you need more than anything is you probably need a karaoke track under you so we can follow along a little better.
Well, if anybody knew that song, I wish it would.
Well, it took me a few listens there to figure that out.
Damn.
Yeah.
That bad, huh?
Yeah. Well,
that's it. I'm done with them.
All right.
Okay.
Well. All right.
Well, some of you.
No, we love your efforts, but I wasn't sure that was I Wish It Would Rain. But we look forward to the next one. No, absolutely not. But I think we'll get some public comment, but I'll tell you what, regardless of what we hear, the bottom line is the people you mentioned were delighted to be in your song.
Well, I'm glad that they were, because that's why I did. You always say mention callers, so that's what I did.
All right, good deal. Well, thank you, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, and Linda is in Richland Park. Hello, Linda.
Hi, how are you, Raleigh? I haven't called in for a long time.
I know.
Every night.
Well, I'm delighted to hear from you.
I was calling tonight because Johnny D just got off of the phone, but I just wanted to let him know, no offense, no, I don't mean to hurt his feeling or anything, but he can't sing.
He
cannot sing, and he actually think he can, and that's sad. And, you know, his singing is so depressing, you know, and I'm going like, I can't believe he gets into it, and he's so proud. And, oh, he's so proud. I said, sound like he's been drinking some Long Island tea or something, you know. I'm going, is he serious? And he don't rhyme anything. Half of it don't make sense.
Oh, God.
And he actually think he got some fans out there.
Yes.
I'm going like, is he serious?
Yeah,
I said he need to listen to what he's saying. Instead of him singing, why don't he just make a poem out of it? That might be a little better, because he surely can't sing. I'm saying, like, if
you know what's interesting is he actually was in a band for years. He was on stage and everything. So what I was thinking is maybe a karaoke track would help. Where the music was there.
I think some singing lessons would lessons would help. And no more of that Long Island iced tea might help him. Actually, because, you know, He sounds horrible. I'm going, he's depressing.
All right. Well.
And then he takes up so much time, and then he talks like he got so much pride about, oh, what I'm doing. Nothing.
Linda, I don't mean to hurt his
I don't mean to hurt his feelings, but he needs to quit. He just needs to stop it. Just stop it. Don't, no more singing. Get back to your homonyms or something. Okay, but anyway, I'm going to hang up.
Always good to hear from you, Linda. Thank you.
I hope some other people call in and let him know that he can't sing. Maybe he'll stop.
Thank you. Call me again soon.
But I love him still.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Bye
thanks.
Bye.
Appreciate it. All right. So Linda has spoken. Oh, my God. Poor Johnny D. Well, if he wasn't drinking before, after Linda's call, he'll start. All right. So 888-876-5593. Fran is in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, my God, I've got to come after that.
Yes, you do.
Oh, my God. Wow. How does she really?
How does she really feel?
How does she really feel? I can't stop laughing. I'm trying, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Poor Linda, she just holds back, doesn't she?
But no, I know. She needs to be more outspoken.
Yeah, right.
Poor Johnny D. My God. Johnny D, nobody sounds good over a phone.
Well, that's true. In fact, part of that, I did hear he was technologically challenged, which was no fault of his, and I don't know what went on, but the volume did drop out on that.
The volume dropped out, and something happened where the pitch changed for a minute, but it was not, I could tell that it was not his pitch that changed, you know. His voice didn't change. And, you know, I can tell because, I mean, I'm not, you know, I haven't made any money or a lot of money at it or anything like that, but I'm a singer. And, you know, I've done a lot of club singing and stuff like that. But you know, I have enough knowledge and I've listened to enough music to tell that Johnny D has a good voice. It's just, he's not showing it off to its best advantage without, as you say, it would probably be better to have a vocal track of some kind behind him because, you know, it's hard.
It is hard.
Anyway, no.
Yeah, we can't all be the Cadillacs.
No. And, you know, another thing, too, is, you know, some, like, I try not to do it, but once in a while I'll find myself doing it where I'll sing a little piece of something, and I think, Fran, don't sing on the phone. Don't sing on the phone. You sound terrible. Don't do it.
No. Oh, no. Well, you have to.
But I thank you, Johnny D, for putting me in another one of your songs.
Yes.
And, yeah, I don't quite agree with all that, but okay, what she said. But anyway, that's not what I called about.
You called about Shel Silverstein.
Obviously. I called about Shel Silverstein. You were talking about something the other night that he had written, and I forgot what it was. I'm just kind of curious because I love Shel Silverstein.
Might have been Marie Laveau, you know, which he wrote for Bobby Bear.
Oh, okay. Did he write? I'm just trying to. You know, what are some other songs that he might have written by some other people that I might, you know?
Oh, he wrote a lot of stuff.
I'm always interested in it.
Of course, you know all the Dr. Hook stuff. Of course.
Oh yeah, that I knew. Yeah, I love that stuff.
Right, I do too. And but A Boy Named Sue, Johnny Cash. You know.
Yeah.
Well, probably my favorite his was Loretta Lynn's "One's on the Way." And
what's
you know,
that one?
One's
Loretta
on
Lynn's what?
One's on the way.
I had not heard that.
Oh, it's here in Topeka. Oh man, it's yeah. They say to have her hair done, Liz flies all the way to France. Jackie's seen in a discotheque doing a brand new dance, and the White House social season should be getting glittering and gay. But here in Topeka, the rain is a falling, the faucet is a dripping, the kids are a ballin', one of them is a toddler, one is a crawling, and one is on the way.
Sounds Silverstein. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm glad that Raquel Welch just signed a $1 million pack. Debbie's out in Vegas working on a brand new act while the TV show, and Newlyweds a real fun game to play. But here in Topeka, the screen door banging, the coffee pots are boiling, the wash needs a hanging. One wants a cookie, one wants a changing, and one's on the way. Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to look for that. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. So he's done a lot of stuff. Queen of the Silver Dollar, of course.
Oh, I love that one. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, Dr. Hook did that. Yeah. And a couple of other versions of that.
Yeah, the country version was my favorite. And I'm trying to think who did that now. Daryl, who was it? Oh, man. Oh gosh, that's terrible. And obviously, you always see the common names, but I forget it. I'll find it here. I've got it on the computer somewhere. But in any event, he wrote that, and that was wonderful. But so many other things too. He wrote a ton of things, and of course, he started out as a cartoonist for Playboy.
Oh, okay. I had heard something about that, but yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Put another log on the fire. Tom Paul Glazer.
Oh, I like that one. Yeah. Tell me why you're leaving me. I mean,
that's right. Exactly. Yeah. So it was wonderful. Wonderful stuff like that.
Wasn't I always nice to your kid sister?
Yeah. Right. And right. On the cover of the Music City News, Buck Owens. Oh, man. But
I like on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Right,
that was a big hit.
Well, sure, absolutely. Now I gotta go to Secondhand Songs because I want to know who did this Queen of the Silver Dollar because it'll drive me crazy. I won't sleep tonight. That would be bad, or maybe not. I don't know. I guess it would depend. But Doyle Holly did the country version. Holly.
I know I've heard it.
Yeah,
I know I've heard the country version.
Yeah,
of
yeah, that's the
and
one.
You know, it's just a perfect country song.
Well, it is, absolutely. But Scepter is a wine glass, the bar stools are thrown. Yeah, it doesn't get better than that. But let's see.
In fact, it so reminds me of this friend of my mom's. I don't know. This song just reminds me. I mean, that song could have been written for this friend of hers.
And yeah, I got
the. Funny because my mom, of course, was a total teetotaler. But
all right, I got the Doyle Holly version on this computer, so everybody needs to hear "Queen of the Silver Dollar."
All right,
somewhere
okay.
Here.
She arrives in all her splendor each night at 9 o'clock. Her chariot is a crosstown bus that stops right down the block. The old piano minstrel plays a song as she walks in, and the queen of the silver dollar is home again. She's the queen of the silver dollar. She rules a smoky kingdom. Her scepter is a wine glass, and the bar stool is her throne.
And that was the all-time first recording of that song, but Dr. Hook released it, actually, before Doyle Holly did. But May of 73, that was the original Queen of the Silver Dollar.
Oh, I have heard that. Now
yeah.
I know who it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, of course, I'm familiar with the Dr. Hook version,
right.
And, you know.
But, yeah, that Doyle Holly, I just thought he made it because the lyrics so well fit him, you know.
Yeah, he sings it. Yeah, I like the way he's doing that. Yeah,
yeah.
Not somebody I'm familiar with, but
There's no reason to be, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's too bad. He's good.
Yeah, no, there's that's terrible to say because he's done a lot of things, but he's been dead about 20 years or so. I don't know, but he was a bass player actually, and he was in Buck Owens' band in the Buckaroos, and then in fact he was still playing bass for Buck when he did Queen of the Silver Dollar. But he did a number of others, and he was on all those Buckaroos hits like, I Got a Tiger by the Tail and Love's Gonna Live Here. And
oh,
all
okay,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was him. And, as far as other songs that were hits, I can't think of one, but Queen of the... And he probably... put out maybe half a dozen 45s, probably about it, and maybe two or three albums, but on Barnaby, of all things. But yeah, Queen of the Silver Dollar was kind of his signature song.
Oh, okay. I'll have to see if I can find him, because I like what he did with that one. I like his voice. Yeah. I like the way he sings it.
Yeah.
So, all right. All right,
well, good to hear from you.
All right.
Thanks.
It's going to be a habit here.
Well, I hope so. Appreciate that. Thanks. All right. So,
okay, thanks. Bye.
Let's see if we can get to Cindy, Chuck, Sherry, and James. But right now, I got to get to this on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. I guess that's a wrap. Apologies to everybody on hold, but we'll do it all again 21 hours from now, and so I hope you'll call early. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. We thank Bob for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, you for calling. Talk to you tomorrow night on WGN Radio.